Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 2, recorded January 9th, 2009.
Hey, Russ.
Hi.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're
going to
talk about vinegar eels. We're going to give you a little bit about the applications of vinegar eels, materials you need to use, sources for vinegar eels, culture requirements, troubleshooting, frequently asked questions, and observations and anecdotes about vinegar eels.
Okay, well, who should culture vinegar eels?
Well, this is basically for anyone who is raising pretty small fry, but it's not really a first food for most really small fry. Maybe you'd say a lot of egg-laying fish that start out pretty small might need something even smaller, like infusoria, for a week or so, and then they can start in on vinegar eels. But it is a first food for a fry that start out a little larger, like bettas. Vinegar eels are really popular as a first food for bettas because they are smaller than baby brine shrimp, and so they work out kind of well for those kinds of fish. They are thinner in diameter than baby brine shrimp, so even though they might be longer, it's easy for a newly free-swimming betta to take something like that. They're not as big as microworms or Walter worms. So that works out nicely for fish that can take microworms or Walter worms maybe after they've been eating vinegar eels for a few days. I should mention that vinegar eels are not soul food. You don't want to just try to raise fry on vinegar eels. They're really more of a bridge. Just use them for a few days and then start mixing in other things like baby brine shrimp or so on, because fry raised entirely on vinegar eels have a pretty high mortality rate. They're not really useful for adult fish, except for maybe really, really small adult fish. Basically, you don't use them for adult fish.
Okay, so basically fry.
Yeah.
Small fry, medium fry.
Fry.
Okay. Where do you get vinegar eels?
Well, the internet, things like Aquabit or other internet auctions, aquarium clubs, you can sometimes get them, or from fellow aquarists. They're pretty hardy. They withstand shipping really easily, so it's not really a big deal to get them. You won't find them at the pet store in general, but any of those other sources are great.
They can also, of course, buy them from your website.
Yes, that's true.
This website. What do we need to have in order to culture vinegar eels?
Well, a glass or plastic container. I've used both. They work fine. I've used anything from about a quart to about 2 gallons. 1 gallon or more is ideal. But you can get a fair amount of worms from a smaller container, too. The most important things about the container is that it's clean. It's never had soap in it. That's important. So, you know, rinse it out well before you use it for them. If it has something like pickle juice in it, for example, you'll want to soak it in maybe a baking soda solution for 24 hours or so, and then rinse it really well, let it dry out well before you use it. But once you have a clean container, you do need to make sure you have a good lid. It needs to be able to be ventilated, but you don't want insects to enter it. Certain flying insects like fruit flies or vinegar flies can be attracted to it, the culture medium that vinegar eels need. So to avoid that, I found the best method for me is to perforate the lid and then use like a polyfiber, like a filter floss type material to plug the hole, and then no bugs get in and there's enough ventilation. It works really nicely.
Okay, and you often use something like the disposable Tupperware containers and poke holes in those kinds of lids, right?
You can do that, uh-huh.
You wouldn't want to keep this in like a critter carrier with a
slotted
mesh
lid.
Slotted type lid.
No, because then fruit flies can enter.
Okay.
So you have to make sure it's small enough that fruit flies can't get through. I've used like a pop bottle with holes poked into it and then just kind of plugged from the underside of the lid with some filter material and then just screwed it on lightly, and that works well too.
Now, is it harder to harvest them out of that?
Yes. I use a wide mouth container for the ones that I harvest from regularly, and then just the other one's kind of a backup in case something crashes, because it's nice in most cultures, including vinegar eels, to have several on hand. I usually have 3 on hand at any given time, so if one crashes I can replenish it from another.
Okay. Once I have my container, how do I set up the culture?
Well, you need to put a solution with vinegar as a base. That seems pretty intuitive from the name, I guess. But there are lots of different recipes out there for what you can use. Some people just use straight apple cider vinegar. Now, let me stress that that is apple cider vinegar. It's not distilled vinegar that has been flavored with apple cider vinegar flavoring, which is out there these days. And I once did pour a little bit of that into a culture, not looking at the label clearly. But it's said that distilled vinegar can kill the vinegar eels, and it certainly doesn't have all the nutrients and so on that they need. So don't use white vinegar or vinegar that was once white and has since been flavored. Make sure it's apple cider vinegar. You can dilute it up to 50% with distilled or RO water, reverse osmosis water. Don't use hard water because that reduces the acidity too much, and they do need an acid environment. So be careful about that. Make sure it's water with very few minerals in it. You don't have to dilute it, though. People use it straight. Some people add a little apple juice or a little sugar. I don't, because I find that sometimes causes yeast blooms, which you don't really want either. But I do put a few pieces of apple in there. I just take some peeled bits of apple. The quantity's not critical. Maybe a tablespoon, maybe a little less. And just throw those in there as well.
Okay, well, what do I actually do to set up the culture, though? We need the apple cider vinegar, but do I pour that in the container and then just put the worms in? Is there some kind of sponge or anything that they're on?
You just pour all the culture materials in the vinegar solution and dilute it if you want. Add apple juice if you want. Add the little bits of apple, and then you're ready to pour
so
in the culture.
So they're just in the liquid. They don't need
anything
other than the liquid.
They can just float around in the liquid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once I've got that set up, what do I feed them, and how often do they need to be fed?
Well, this is one of the great things about vinegar eels. You really don't need to do much with them all that often. They subsist. There's kind of an ecosystem going on there. There's some yeast, some bacteria, and so on that live in that culture, and the worms are part of that ecosystem. And once you set up the culture, you might be able to feed from that culture without adding any food, but you can harvest worms from it without adding any food or anything to it for a couple of months.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of nice. And sometimes you can let the culture sit for up to 6 months or even more without doing anything, and still the worms do fine. That's maybe where we should mention this. Another nice reason to have vinegar eels on hand is that if you're ever surprised by some fry, say your Cory cat suddenly surprised you with fry, or you have, you know, something like that, or your bed has spawned or hatched a little bit earlier than you thought they were going to, if you have some vinegar eels on hand in the meantime while you're trying to hatch some baby brine shrimp for them or something else, they're not going to starve.
Okay.
So it's nice to have that. You have an instant source of live food that's there almost all the time.
And basically, you don't have to feed the vinegar eels.
You don't have to feed them very often.
What do you feed them and how often?
Well, you just redo this culture solution. You can just replace 50% of it every couple of months.
Just pour in more vinegar?
Well, yeah, you can just add vinegar, add a few slices of apple every once in a while, maybe every month or so.
Okay.
When you notice production of worms starting to slow down, maybe you can do that. And every maybe 3 months, depending on, you know, if you don't notice any slackening of production or anything, you can kind of gauge it on that. But maybe every 3 months, you want to get another container, pour in half the culture, the top half of the culture, into the new container, and then add fresh culture material to the new container and fresh culture material to the old container. And then, you know, if you do that every 3 months, you should be fine. And that counts. That's all you have to do to feed them, basically.
Okay. How do you breed the vinegar eels?
You don't have to do anything
beyond...
You don't
have to do anything for that either. Just the same thing, just let them go.
Yeah, they'll just breed as long as you're doing all those things, you're culturing them. And they're not quite as prolific as some of the other worms, like some of the microworms or Walter worms that people breed. Not nearly as prolific. They don't produce as many worms, and they don't breed quite as quickly. But in maybe 2 weeks after subculturing, you probably have some worms that you can feed from. It might be a little bit longer before you have a heavily producing culture, but even then it won't produce as heavily as some of the other worms.
Okay. How do you harvest them?
There's a lot of methods for harvesting vinegar eels. One of them is the bottleneck method, and in that method you take a bottle with a narrow neck and you pour in some of the culture fluid, the vinegar solution, into the bottleneck up to the top of the area where the bottleneck stops before the actual bottleneck, where the widened part of the bottle stops, but not up into the bottleneck yet. And then you put some filter floss or a similar material in there and then pour fresh water over the top of the filter material. And the worms will swim up through the filter material into the water up at the top. And it takes several hours, maybe overnight. And then once you notice there's a whole bunch of worms swimming around in there, you can take an eyedropper and suck that clear water out and then just squirt it directly into your tank without worrying about getting a whole lot of vinegar in your tank or anything like that. That is a consideration. You do want to avoid vinegar in your tank in a lot of cases, most cases, because a fry tank is generally quite small and you can affect the water quality of a small fry tank without a lot of filtration in it and so on pretty easily because vinegar is very acidic. So you want to be careful about doing that. That method is one way to keep it keep the vinegar out. Another method is called I call it the cotton swab method anyway. This is not my idea either, but this is out there on the websites. You can check the resources at the on the webpage, my webpage, and it'll indicate the website that this came from. But is to look along the sides of the container. This works especially well when you have a wide mouth container that you can reach into. And many times the vinegar eels at peak production, they'll just crawl up the sides, especially if you've roughened the sides of the container with maybe a little sandpaper, mm-hmm. which is a lot easier if the container is plastic, but you can do it with glass too. Anyway, they climb up the sides and you just use a cotton swab to just, you know, swipe them off.
Much like you do with microworms.
Much like you do with microworms or Walter worms. And because you're doing that, you're not getting any of the vinegar solution essentially in there, so you can just swab those straight into your tank.
Okay.
There's a couple ways other than that. The coffee filter method, just take some of the culture solution, pour it into a coffee filter, let the vinegar drain back out into whatever container, and you can either discard that or put it back in the original culture, and there will be quite a few vinegar eels trapped in the coffee filter. One problem with that method is that a lot of the smaller eels will go through the coffee filter, and in that case you're losing the smaller eels, which
you want for
really small fry, and that's kind of the advantage of vinegar eels. So you're losing some of the benefit of vinegar eels if you use that method, but some people use it just fine. And my favorite method that I usually use is I get some polyfiber material, like a piece of filter medium, and I thread a needle through it and the thread. And then when I have the thread going through both sides, I kind of dangle it into the solution, get it, make sure it's nice and wet, and then pull it up so that it's halfway in the culture solution, halfway out, and tighten the lid on it in a way that it holds the thread up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worms kind of disturb you'll disturb the surface of the liquid as you do that, and you can make sure to kind of stir it around a little bit. And the worms will be removed from whatever surface they were on the sides or wherever they were, and they'll seek out a surface, and they tend to like the surfaces that are partway out of the water. Mm-hmm. And so they'll climb up onto that. And in an hour or so, you can have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of worms up on the top side of that. And so then you carefully take it out so that you don't drop it in. You know, you hold onto the thread and unscrew it and kind of pull it up slowly so that it doesn't get dunked back into the liquid and you lose all the worms. Mm-hmm. Carefully pull it up, let it kind of drip off a little bit so you're not getting mm-hmm. a whole lot of vinegar. And then you can either dip it into fresh water in a small container and then use an eyedropper to put that in your tank, or you can just dip the top of it into the tank
Okay. And
get it, and then you miss most of the vinegar problem that way too.
So we've got lots of options there.
Lots of options for harvesting.
We talked about this a little bit, but what should they do if they notice that the culture production begins to slow down?
Well, that's just a sign that you need to subculture. Once again, you just take out half the culture liquid, pour it into a new container, and then fill it with the other half back up with new culture materials, add new apple bits and new vinegar and water or apple juice if you're going to do that. And in a week or two, you should see them going again. And like I said before, always make sure you have two or three cultures going at any given time.
Okay. What if they notice like an opaque scum forming on the surface of the culture liquid?
Well, that usually means there's some yeast going on. There's probably too much sugar available in the culture, and so the yeast is kind of taking advantage of that. There's a couple ways you can deal with that. You can try pouring it off and then subculturing with some of the yeast-free liquid as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had added sugar or a lot of juice to your previous culture, try not to do that in this next one. It can also happen if you add too much apple or if you fail to wash your hands well before you cut your apple up. You may be infecting it or something like that. So there's a couple things that can cause it. But besides reculturing, the other thing you can do is just ignore it. You won't get a whole lot of worms out of it for a little while, but if you just leave it alone, the ecosystem will eventually go back into balance, and the worms will come back. That way takes a while, but it does work. And if you're impatient, just try the subculturing method instead, and that'll take care of it a little faster.
So it kind of sounds like vinegar eels are fairly simple and mostly just take care of themselves.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. They're probably one of the easiest live foods out there, and they do have limited application, basically, like I said, for fry that are a little bit too big for infusoria, a little bit too small for baby brine shrimp. That's about all they're useful for, but they are very useful
important.
For that. And yeah, it is an important stage, and they're very, very easy.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that we need to know or that you want to tell us about them?
Well, one thing is that vinegar eels are really, really small. And some people, when they first get vinegar eels, they're not even sure that they have any because they don't know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see it, especially when they first get a starter culture in the mail or something like that. And they're looking at this sort of vinegar-colored liquid and they're thinking, I see nothing. What is this? Well, what I would advise is just go ahead and try to culture it. And then after a week or two, hold up your culture against a strong light with a magnifying glass, and you'll see something shimmering around, especially near the surface.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very small, but you should be able to see the movement. If you don't, then you may need to contact the source and say, look, I don't have any vinegar eels. But you probably ought to wait, because many times you just don't know what you're looking for, and the numbers aren't very great, and so they're really hard to see, but after a week or so, it'll be evident.
Okay.
So I think that's about it.
Well, thank you for talking to us today.
And thank you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.